out towards shallow right field, and it won't be caught. It lands in between the second baseman and right fielder, and a single for the Rafters. Back-to-back base runners for the first time since the second inning. And with that, they will make the call to the bullpen, and the Rafters are showing signs of life late, trying to make the improbable comeback, and they are cooking. They bring the tying runner on deck and trying to keep the offense moving. That will do it for Tyler Frederick. What a performance from him. A quality start as he ends the game going seven innings pitched. And he threw just 73 pitches, even here, including the eighth inning. So with that, we're going to go ahead and step aside. When we come back, it's a return of the eighth here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hey, Rafters fans. Don't let online troublemakers steal home. Stay in control with the new My Solaris app. It's a grand slam for parents, letting you monitor and block content, set screen time limits, and keep your family safe online, all from your phone or mobile device. Test your internet speed like a pro, set up guest networks, and prioritize devices to keep your family's MVPs working, streaming, or gaming without a hitch. With My Solaris, you're in command, managing your Wi-Fi like a champ. For more information, visit solaris.net/Wi-Fi. App features vary by internet plan and may require a complimentary equipment upgrade.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Mallards fans are tuning in intently to the Rafters-Woodchucks game as the Rafters all of a sudden have two runners on base with nobody out in the top of the eighth inning. The Rafters trail the Woodchucks 5-1 in the top of the eighth, but trying to make the improbable comeback, they will send Christian Bermudez up to the plate. The reason the Mallards fans might be tuning in is, of course, because the Mallards need the Rafters to win in order for a chance to make the playoffs. Although, the Mallards game is starting in just a couple minutes here, and so I'll have to bring updates on that game as well. But this game, the important one, if the Woodchucks win, that one doesn't matter. The Rafters hoping to make the comeback and spoil the party here at Athletic Park, and a grounder to the right side of the infield picked up at first base, and it caught Lindsay a little bit lacking there, and either way, Christian Bermudez is safe at first. It goes 3-6 on the fielder's choice. And Christian Bermudez is safe at first base. So River Lindsay out at second, and Seth Spencer has moved over to third base. Brings up the right-handed hitting Jake Beauchesne with runners on the corners and one out in the top of the eighth. 5-1 the lead for the Woodchucks. First pitch to Beauchesne in there for strike number one. 0-1 the count. And if there's a guy you want up at the plate, it's Jake Beauchesne. Mr. Clutch himself, he had a grand slam earlier against the Lakeshore in the month. And trying to keep showing off that batting ability. Bermudez on first is a stealing threat. 0-1 count is low for ball number one, a 1-1 count. Bermudez has certainly been willing to try taking off here and there. We'll see if he tries to here, though. Beauchesne, such a good batter, but has to come up clutch here against Cade Douglas on the mound as that pitch misses low and away for ball number two. And a bit of a breakdown on Douglas, the reliever who came into the game for the Woodchucks. 6'3", 175 righty who comes from Colorado State Pueblo, a senior native of Lakewood, Colorado. A 4.97 ERA across 20 appearances and 29 innings pitched. 2-1 the count. Runners on the corners and one away. The pitch from Douglas. This one is hit high in the air out toward left field. Back at the warning track and now running back in the left fielder Mazzucano, and Spencer won't try it. It's a fly out to left field and not quite able to bring the run home. And it brings up Landon Gaz to the plate with two outs and runners on the corners in the top of the eighth. A four-run lead for the Woodchucks. And Gaz, 0-for-3 to start the game today, but you look back at yesterday, he started the game 0-for-3 and then hit a home run. A three-run shot at that, and could do the same thing here as that pitch misses low and away for ball number one, blocked by Solis to keep it from getting away. Still a 1-0 count, and Cade Douglas coming into a key situation, and he's been good. Got to finish it off, though. 1-0 the count. Bermudez still on first. Spencer on third. Pickoff move to first, and a big block by the first baseman Rodriguez to keep it from getting away. A low throw that nearly went away and likely would have sent Spencer home from third. But instead, the runners remain on the corners. Righty-righty matchup between Gaz and Douglas. Douglas looking down, runner on first still. Now looking home, another pickoff move to first. Checks in on Bermudez, but he's back in plenty of time. So still a 1-0 count. And Cade Douglas worried about the runner on first, but has to take care of Gaz, who's been one of the Rafters' better hitters this season. Runner taking off from first. Check swing. Did he go? No, he didn't. It's a ball. 2-0 the count and a stolen base for Christian Bermudez. So that's now two runners in scoring position and a huge opportunity for Gaz. If he's able to send a hit to the outfield, Bermudez is a quick enough runner. He likely is going to come around and score. So the infield is pushed way back now. 2-0 count, and this one's hit out toward right center field, and that will get down for a hit. Here comes one. Here comes another. Gaz is booking it for second. The throw coming in. The tag is applied in time and got him, but the second run did come across to score. It's a 2-RBI single for Landon Gaz and cuts the deficit to just two. It's now 5-3. The Woodchucks lead as we head to the bottom of the eighth. This is Rafters Baseball on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A legal challenge against the Line 5 oil pipeline is set to begin August 12th in Ashland. Canadian oil giant Enbridge wants to trench and blast across northern Wisconsin to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline. Environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are challenging permits and other approvals for the project issued by the DNR. Environmental groups across Wisconsin are calling on the state's congressional representatives not to support a bill that would weaken the Clean Water Act. The so-called Permit Act would, among other harms, allow polluters to release PFAS forever chemicals into waterways without telling state officials, allow massive amounts of pesticides to be released into waterways, and fast-track projects that destroy wetlands and streams. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Have a final line for a couple of pitchers for you as Tyler Pacetti comes out of the game and Ashton Poole comes in to take over for him. But Tyler Frederick also has a final line as Frederick went 7 innings pitched. He allowed 3 runs. All 3 were earned on 5 hits, 1 walk, and he had 5 strikeouts while hitting 1 batter with a pitch as well. He faced 28 total batters on just 73 pitches and handed it off to Cade Douglas, who was able to work out of that eighth inning, but not before two runs came across for the Rafters. It's 5-3 Woodchucks in the bottom of the eighth, a close one, as Ashton Poole will look to keep it a two-run game, but he's facing a tough part in the Woodchucks order. It's their 2-3-4 batters, and the first pitch to Kristen Smith-Johnson misses low for ball number one. Smith-Johnson to be followed by Dylan Schlotterbeck and Max Solis. That's who's due up in the bottom of the eighth. The Woodchucks need a win to clinch a playoff berth, and the base hit to left field as Christian Smith-Johnson comes through with a leadoff single, and Smith-Johnson scored both of the times that he had reached prior to this. Such a quick runner, not somebody you want as a leadoff man aboard, and it brings up Dylan Schlotterbeck to the plate with a runner on first and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. A two-run lead for the Woodchucks. Schlotterbeck, right-handed hitting third baseman, righty-righty matchup between him and Poole. Poole looking home, and the pitch on the inside edge called for strike one. 0-1 the count, and Tyler Pacetti went 2 1/3 innings. He did not allow a run on 3 hits and 2 walks. He did have 1 strikeout as well. He did also hit 1 batter with a pitch. No box for him. Runner taking off. It's hit out toward right field. Running up on it, Kobayashi will make the play and throw it back to first and double up Smith-Johnson. What a play! The hit and run backfires on the Woodchucks. And there are two away with the bases empty in the bottom of the eighth. What a huge play for the Rafters as it brings up Max Solis trying to keep the inning alive. Wow. Great defense there, and the first pitch in there for strike number one to Max Solis. 0-1 the count. 5-3 the lead for the Woodchucks. 0-1 count to Solis, and that pitch in there for strike number two. 0-2 the count, and Ashton Poole coming into this game looking for a strong finish to the season from him. He's had some strong performances here down the stretch as he looks to finish it off with one fly ball out toward right field. Kobayashi won't get there. It's in front of him, bounces off of the warning track and off the wall. Kobayashi will throw it back into second, and a two-out double from Max Solis puts that runner right back in scoring position. Brings up the left-handed hitting left fielder, Braden Mazzucano, with a runner on second and two away in the bottom of the eighth. A two-run lead for the Woodchucks, and a win, a must-get for them. The game between the Rockers and Mallards has begun as well, worth noting, as the Mallards could, if they win and the Rafters win, the Mallards will make the playoffs. First pitch to Mazzucano, high for ball number one, 1-0 the count. And so certainly a split-screen moment for Mallards fans. And if Wausau can't manage to win this one, they will be tuning in to the Madison-Green Bay game. 1-0 count is outside, now 2-0 the count. And Ashton Poole taking a look at his last time up. It was back on August 6th, just 3 days ago, when he went 4 innings pitched against Fond du Lac. Poole looks back to second. 2-0 the count. Got to throw some strikes here. Pitch coming in. It misses outside for ball number three. And not the accuracy that you were hoping to see from Poole, but that's been the focus for him this year. When he has limited the walks, he has been effective. Last game, walked just 2 batters over his 4 innings. Did allow 3 runs, but a couple of those were in the last inning as the 3-0 count is high for ball number 4. And the second walk that Braden Mazzucano will draw, it brings up Dom Rodriguez to the plate with runners on first and second and 2 outs in the bottom of the eighth. Rodriguez, the right-handed hitting first baseman. It's a righty-righty matchup, and Rodriguez He was already a hero earlier. His two-run home run is the difference in the game. Back in the fifth inning, that's the last time that they scored, and if not for that home run, it would be tied. Runners on first and second, breaking ball in there, called for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Rodriguez is 1-for-3 on the game. His last time up, grounded into a fielder's choice. Also walked once and flew out to right field. 0-1 the count. Poole looking home, and the pitch to Rodriguez. It's a swing and a foul tip. Goes back to Maud, who will take some time after he takes off his helmet to make sure that he's all good to go. 0-2 the count, and Maud taking a second to walk it off. That one bounced back off the bat and hit Maud. And with an 0-2 count, Poole's got to make sure that he's ready to go. He would love to get a K here. He has not been a strikeout pitcher his last few games when he's really pitched well. Over his last four games, it has been a real nice stretch to see out of him. Allowed 3 runs over 4 innings his last time out. 1 run in 1 inning the previous time, and then no runs over an inning in 2/3, and a shutout 2 innings the game before. 0-2 count coming home. It's popped up towards the middle of the infield. Trailing back into the outfield, the second baseman, Beauchesne. He will make the catch. And into the ninth we go. It is 5-3. The Woodchucks lead in the eighth inning. There were no runs on the two hits, no errors, and there were 2 left on base. We'll come back after this. The final inning of the season, potentially. We'll have to wait and see as the Rafters try and make the comeback here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
In a season with so many ups and downs for the Rafters, they have a chance to end it with one of their greatest memories of the year, a potential comeback victory to knock out Wausau from the playoffs. But they trail by 2. It's 5-3 in the top of the ninth. And the first pitch in there for strike number 1. 0-1 the count. Cade Douglas back out for his second inning of work. And Hiroto Kobayashi in the batter's box. Righty-righty matchup. 0-1 count. Swung on and fouled back. 0-2 the count. Kobayashi will be followed by Peyton Bryant and Lachlan Maud. That is who's due up in the top of the ninth. Kobayashi, 0-2 in the game. He struck out his last time, flew out, and was hit by a pitch. 0-2 the count, trying to get on base for the second time this game. The pitch, check swing, doesn't matter, called strike 3. That takes care of Kobayashi for the first out of the ninth. Brings up Peyton Bryant to the plate with the bases empty and one away. And the Rafters trying to end the season on a high note. Same with Peyton Bryant. And Brian has been one of the best pickups for the Rafters here in the last couple weeks. Trying to stay hot. He's already 1-for-3. First pitch, swing and a miss for strike number one. 0-1 the count, and Cade Douglas is on one right now. Douglas, the right-hander, took over for Tyler Frederick back in the eighth inning. Frederick went through seven complete innings and allowed back-to-back batters to lead off the eighth. 0-1 the count coming home. This one hit up the middle and gets into center field, and it brings the tying runner to the plate for the Rafters. Second hit of the game for Peyton Bryant, and the Rafters will have a chance to knot it up on the road. The Woodchucks have won 19 straight home games, and such an electric atmosphere. The Woodchucks love to play at Athletic Park, but the Rafters looking to make sure that they avoid win number 20. Runner on first and one away at the plate, the right-handed hitting Lachlan Maude. First pitch, inside for ball one. 1-0 the count. Maude is 1-for-3 this game. His last time up, struck out swinging, and before that, a ground out and a single. 1-0 the count. Maude has just one home run on the season. And a pickoff move back to first, checks on Peyton Bryant. Worth noting, a double play is in order, however. And with that, it could end the game and end the Rafters season. Lachlan Maude hoping that all of the work that he's put in will finally pay off. 1-0 the count coming home. It's a swing and a miss for strike one. 1-1 the count. Maude did single earlier today back in the second inning. He's 1-for-3 on the game. And Maude has been putting in work tirelessly for the Rafters. Every single game he's in the batting cages, at batting practice, doing more one-on-one work than anyone else I've seen. 1-1 count, misses outside for ball number two. 2-1 the count. And Maude trying to be the hero here. Runner on first base ahead of him. And another pickoff move to first, checks on Bryant, but he was not off of the bag enough to get him. So still a 2-1 count on the way home. Douglas looking back to first for a second. Now back on the mound, eyeing down Maude. 2-1 count, swung on and hit out toward right field on the line. Caught in right field, the throwback to first does not come, as that will put Wausau just one out away from a playoff berth. And the last life for the Rafters is Mike Monum, trying to keep the season going. The right-handed hitting left fielder is into the batter's box. It's a righty-righty matchup. Two outs, a 5-3 Woodchucks lead in the top of the ninth. Pickoff move back to first, checks on Peyton Bryant yet again. Bryant has not attempted a stolen base yet this season. He's over on first base. Mike Monum, another pickoff move to first, and still checking in on him. Monum, the right-handed hitting left fielder, just trying to keep this game alive. 1-for-3 on the game, an RBI single back in the second. He's been retired his last two times up. The first pitch from Douglas, swung on and grounded to third. This could do it. 5-3, and the Woodchucks are headed to the playoffs. They beat the Rafters 5-3, just like that last out. 5-3, and nothing more fitting than a win here at Athletic Park in front of the home faithful. Their 20th straight home win, and the Woodchucks have officially eliminated the Madison Mallards. What a season from them, and that officially ends the Rafters' year. Final score 5-3, post-game show comes up next. This is Rafters Baseball on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Well, one final post-game show coming your way here on WFHR as the Rafters unable to get the victory. The final score, the Woodchucks 5, the Rafters 3. Let's take a look back at how it all happened. And the Woodchucks, man, they just showed off exactly what has made them so dominant all year long. Back in the first inning, they were able to take the lead on Seth Spencer, scoring two runs in the bottom of the first. An RBI sack fly from Dylan Schlotterbeck and an error sent home an unearned run off of the line of Spencer. That made it 2-0. Although in the top of the second, the Rafters were able to fight back with an RBI single from Mike Monahan. That made it 2-1, and then it would stay there up until the third inning, and the Woodchucks were able to add another. It was an RBI ground out from Max Solis that made it 3-1. The Woodchucks would keep that 3-1 lead up until the fifth inning when they tacked on two more runs thanks to the two-run shot from Dom Rodriguez. Those the last two runs of the game that they would score, but that two-run home run, the difference in the game. And the Rafters did attempt to make the comeback, trailing 5-1. They scored two runs in the eighth inning as they had the bases clearing, two RBI single from Landon Gaz to make it 5-3. But the Rafters were held scoreless in the ninth, once again with the tying runner at the plate. Unable to finish it, the final score 5-3. Let's take a look back at the numbers one last time this season. And we're going to do a little bit something special here. Rather than just looking at the stats from tonight's game, we're going to look back at the stats from the entire season as well. In this game, though, Landon Gaz 1-for-4 with two RBIs in the game for the Rafters. Along with that, Peyton Bryant 2-for-4 from the plate. He was the only multi-hit Rafter. Although worth noting, Seth Spencer 1-for-2 with a walk. He also reached base multiple times. On the pitching side, Seth Spencer 4 2/3 innings. He allowed 5 runs, 4 were earned, before handing it off to Tyler Pacetti, who had 2 1/3 scoreless innings with 1 strikeout. Ashton Poole, a shutout inning as well. Taking a look back at the season numbers this year on the offensive side, it is Seth Spencer who ends up as the team's batting average leader, although doing so in only 2 games, and so only so much that you can really take from that as he bats 600 this year, going 3-for-5 from the plate. But realistically, Spencer Davis, another Spencer for Hope International, he batted 400 over 10 games as a true first baseman. So did Matthew Pinal. He played in 8 games and was a two-way player for the Rafters as well. Another guy from Hope International. The 3 batters from Hope International are the team's batting average leaders. Wouldn't you imagine that? The guys who come over from Ziggy's school. Harrison Garrett, though, he in 7 games batted 364. River Lindsay batted 350 over 6. Andre Madunio in his 8 games, he batted 346. Noah Hata played just 4 games and batted 333. Eric Parker, this is the guy who played the most games out of the names I've mentioned so far. In 16 games, he batted 333. And then behind that, you get to the guys who played a ton. Mason Onyade in the first half in 31 games, he batted 315, followed by the lone all-star on the Rafters, Noah Ruiz, who in 33 games batted 311 and was such a fun player to get to watch and to get to call these games up. Throughout the year, Hiroto Kobayashi appeared in 59 games. That leads the team as he had almost 200 at-bats, 199. He batted 231 throughout the year. Matt Inocco played in 51 games. Royce Clayton Jr. in 48. Luke Skinner played in 37, and those are the team leaders on that front. On the RBI board, it's Noah Ruiz who ends up on top with 34 as just a first-half player. Kobayashi tied for second with Matt Inocco with 30, and Landon Gaz finished fourth with 29. On the home run leaderboards, it's Jake Beauchesne who was first on the team with his 7 homers, Junior Barajas, in just 13 games, he hit 6 homers before getting drafted to the San Francisco Giants. Landon Gass finished 3rd with 5. Noah Ruiz had 4 as well. That's a look at the leaderboards and taking a look at OPS as well, because that might be my favorite statistic. Out of players who had at least 50 at-bats, Junior Barajas led in OPS with a 1076. Along with that, it was Noah Ruiz who finished 2nd, having a 945. And then Jake Beauchesne, 3rd, with a 917. Those are the team leaders in OPS. Now taking a look at the pitching side, leading in innings pitched, it was Seth Spencer going 59 2/3, which topped Tristan Cruzenberry's 52 innings. But behind them, a big drop-off, 32 2/3 from Ashton Poole, as he had the 3rd most inning pitched for a Rafters pitcher. In terms of ERA leaders, it was Easton Zempel with a 2.0 ERA over his 3 appearances. He totaled 9 innings. But of guys that pitched at least 20 innings, Espen Simpson had a 3.92, followed by Noah Marschke's 4.21 and Justin Battle's 4.25. Taking a look at the strikeout leaderboards, it was Seth Spencer's 46, followed by Tony Torres's 40 and Trevor Moit's 33 strikeouts. That's a look back at the season numbers, and what a great year all around to watch baseball. Although the Rafters season didn't go their way, and neither did this final game, they finished the season on a 4-game losing streak. There were some highs, there were some lows, but all around, such great memories. 2026 comes up next, so not much to look forward to until then. But that is going to do it here from Wausau. So, one last time, thank you so much for tuning in. So many thank yous to go around. Big thank you, as always, to my hosts here in Wausau for being great and helping me get set up, to Matt Clark, the broadcaster here for the Woodchucks, one of my good friends and such a great guy to get to talk to. He is a huge part of why I'm here, and along with that, just a great person in general. Along with that, a huge shout-out to everyone who I've worked with throughout the season. Not just with the Rafters, but everywhere else in the Northwoods League. I have not had a bad experience really anywhere. Everyone has always been so kind to me and to everyone who has helped make this journey such a delight. Thank you. And to you, the fans, as well. Thank you so much for tuning in, game in and game out, and supporting your Rafters throughout the season, through the highs and through the lows. It doesn't come without you guys that we can do things like this. And then thank yous have to go out to the coaching staff throughout the season. Tom Zaglowski, a.k.a. Ziggy, the Rafters manager. Manny Silva, the Rafters now pitching coach, formerly assistant coach and bullpen coach. Mike Spears, Rafters former pitching coach, who wasn't able to finish the season with us. And Eric Robles, along with that, Rafters assistant coach and hitting coach, who also had to leave early. Big shout-outs to them and to all of the players for making this such a great journey throughout the year. And then one final thank you has to be given to my hosts at WFHR for hosting us on the radio, as always. But one final time here from Wausau. It's a final score. The Rafters, they score 3. The Woodchucks, 5. From myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you, and have a great rest of your night, your year, and we'll see you next year.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watch is in effect for the potential of heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and storms around. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s to 70. And still a chance of storms tomorrow. Rather muggy with highs in the low 80s. Less humidity Monday. It's 71 right now.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them, with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if you feel like you missed out on the weekend news, no worries. Civic Media's Charlie Pittman, news director, will join us to keep us updated. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calbee coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Also, Free Ticket Fridays is underway, so grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, spelling counts. Text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club-level seats, to see the game next Wednesday when the Brewers host the Pirates at AmFam Field. So text in the word, you have until 11 o'clock to text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, and you are in the running. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 2. The same with Todd Alba, 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. But the word right now is pitch. Text that in via the Civic Media app, just like Kimberly and Wauwatosa and John and Madison and Brenda and Madison and Art and Roy and Madison and Maureen and hey, Nina. And just makes me happy.
Madison.
Yeah, hello, Madison. Listening on WMDX. Right now, though, we are going to talk about the recent news about the Environmental Protection Agency. Seems important. Our guest is with Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Very excited to have Casey Hicks joining us. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Morning. I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful.
Thank you for having me, by the way.
Absolutely. Casey, for folks who are not familiar with Wisconsin Conservation Voters, can you tell us a little bit about your group?
Sure. We've been around for about over 20 years at this point. We have 40,000 members across the state, and our mission is to engage voters to protect Wisconsin's environment. To keep it short and simple, we try to elect people who are going to do exactly that, protect our environments, and then work to hold them accountable once they're actually in office to pass good, sound environmental policy and to hold them accountable to stop bad environmental policy.
And something we talk about, Casey, on this show a lot, with whether it's between the two of us or with our guests, is that Wisconsin is Wisconsin. We have a long tradition of having a deep love for conservation, for our environment, for our beautiful. We just went to the Northwoods a couple weeks ago, and all I want to do is protect that area. And it seems incumbent and common sense that we would want to preserve that lovely landscape, the good air, the good water here in Wisconsin. And I imagine politicians would want to do the same.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Unfortunately, it seems that when push comes to shove, that's not always the case. But you're exactly right. We do have a really long history and tradition of conservation and being outdoors in Wisconsin. I think people most often think of Gaylord Nelson and the legacy that he left, and
yes,
that being really a great symbol of Wisconsin's leadership on conservation, but it goes way back before that. And I think it's just in our DNA when it comes to people going out hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, just generally getting outside all times of the year, and we definitely experience every single season here in Wisconsin.
We talk a lot, Casey, about there are so many divisions and there are so many political divisions, that things that people don't agree upon. But I do think a majority, and I'm guessing, but I still think a majority of Wisconsinites are very, very much conservationists and conservation minded. I think there are some outliers, but I would like to think that this is one thing upon which we can agree. And now we have the news that the Trump administration has shut down the Environmental Protection Agency's scientific arm, the EPA Office of Research and Development. Hundreds of chemists, biologists, toxicologists, and other scientists are going to lose their jobs under the administration's plan to defund the EPA. Were you surprised when this news came out this week?
Unfortunately, no. Not surprised given what's been happening with the second Trump administration. And it comes at a particularly concerning time when EPA just announced that they're going through the rulemaking process to rescind the endangerment finding, which is the legal underpinning to essentially every rule regulation that EPA has to protect us from greenhouse gas emissions. So it is very worrying, but unfortunately unsurprising.
What can people do who are listening? I think there's a lot of frustration out there, and we're all looking for action plans, something to do. What do you suggest, Casey?
Yeah, well, let me back up just a little bit. There is something for folks to do, but I think for them to actually carry out and make their voice heard, want to make sure that they understand exactly what's happening. So I mentioned the endangerment finding. It came out of a Supreme Court ruling from 2007 that said EPA has the obligation and the requirement to regulate greenhouse gases if they have an impact on people's health and the environment. So the EPA went to their research, they looked at the science, and they found that greenhouse gases, in fact, do affect the environment and affect people's health. So that led to the 2009 endangerment finding. EPA is allowed to make endangerment findings after doing research to see what types of pollutants may be affecting people. And they found that carbon dioxide, methane, and a mix of other greenhouse gases do, in fact, have an effect on our health, which I think to us is unsurprising. And since then, when they came out with the 2009 endangerment finding, I mentioned that's been the legal underpinning for all these other different rules and regulations that protect our health. So right now, not only are they considering removing the endangerment finding, they're also considering removing vehicle emission standards that were just passed in 2024 that would protect our health from tailpipe emissions, from cars and trucks, but also protect our wallets too. Because since about 1966, we've had pollution standards for vehicles in the US. And over the last two decades, our vehicles have become about 35% more efficient than they have been. So what that actually means is paying less at the pump, having to fill up less, saving money overall. So I just want to give that context for what that actually means for people in their lives, because there is an opportunity right now to go and comment before the EPA on August 19th and 20th. They're going to be holding virtual hearings on the endangerment finding and removing these vehicle emission standards. So anyone is able to go and testify. Everyone's impacted by climate change. Everyone's impacted by these rules staying or not. And so it's important to get out and share exactly how that would impact you health-wise, financially. Also understand summer's a busy time, and making an EPA hearing on a Tuesday might be difficult for people.
Fun!
In the middle of the day. Yeah. So there's also a written comment period that goes until September 15th. But of course, the sooner that people write up a comment, submit it, the better. If people want to do that and learn more information, they can go to our website, conservationvoters.org, sign up for our email updates, and we'll be sending out a toolkit very soon with example testimony that people can use and exactly how to submit their comments and sign up for testimony.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Casey Hicks. He is the Federal Government's Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on Civic Media. And Casey, I would love to I'd love to have the attitude of like, well, if they're going to do this, it must be for a good reason. But honestly, like, is it cynical just to say they're pulling back these protections because companies want to save money, companies want to do what they want, companies want to just live their lives, and whatever their actions are can harm us as much as they want, as long as their bottom line is still great for their shareholders. That to me is the bottom line. It's not about, quote, making America great again. It's about making the pockets bigger for the companies that want to cause the harm to our environment.
I think it's very clear that there is a larger strategy to this that benefits corporate polluters and billionaires, at our expense, of course. Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that when you bring that up. And so when I brought up earlier that this is the legal underpinning to a whole host of other rules and regulations that protect our health, if the endangerment finding does go away, and by the way, we're not there yet. Yeah. We still have to go through this comment period. EPA still has to go through the rest of its rulemaking process to actually rescind this. So we could be several months to a year out before this actually happens. And then you better bet that there will probably be litigation and lawsuits that will happen to try to prevent it as well. But in any case, it is clear that there's a larger strategy from the Trump administration to take this underpinning, this foundation away, so that they can start to chip away at other rules and regulations that protect our health, that protect our wallets, like I said, but all of this to the benefit of wealthy corporate polluters and not everyday folks like us.
Casey Hicks is our guest here on Matt Nair on Air from the Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and we're talking about changes at the EPA. The Trump administration essentially wants to crush all the regulations and some of the core underpinnings of what the EPA, or one of the core underpinnings of what the, has given the EPA the tools to do some enforcement. That's what they want to get rid of. Casey, I'm curious, when you hear from people, and you must hear from people, that climate change is a hoax and it doesn't exist. And even though the vast majority of client scientists agree that the climate is changing and humans are causing it, what can people say? I have met family members who tell me, yeah, I talked to my buddy and he says it's no, climate change isn't real, so I believe him. What can people come back with when you have relatives who say that to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll be honest in saying that I'm not always sure how to approach that conversation myself with my own relatives if they don't believe in climate change. So I think that the science is obviously very clear that climate change is happening and it's affecting us right here and now. And there's multiple things that are literally happening to us at this moment that we can point to. The wildfire smoke that we've been experiencing over the last week, the heat that we've been feeling very recently, and not just very recently, but for the last 10 years, every year has been the hottest year on record, and it's trumped the previous one. No pun intended. But so there is that fact to point to. That said, people may still want to believe what they want to believe when it comes to that. I think an economic argument is really strong for investing in clean energy, for making our cars more fuel efficient, and for that clean energy transition as a whole. Right now, the cheapest form of energy and the fastest form of energy to deploy is wind and solar and battery storage and geothermal. And we just recently had the budget reconciliation bill that went through that gutted tax credits for clean energy. And that's incredibly disappointing because we needed those tax credits to be able to invest in those technologies to meet the moment that we're in for climate change. And those are gone. But in any case, it's a good economic argument that investing in clean energy is cheaper. It brings jobs to our state, it brings jobs to our country, and it makes us globally competitive.
We're going to continue our conversation with Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. If you have a question, text it in at 855-752-4842. And don't forget, text in the word via the Civic Media app, PITCH, P-I-T-C-H. That is our word for free ticket Friday, 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets for next Wednesday's game. Text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, and keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. With sinking approval ratings and the 2026 midterms looming, President Donald Trump asked Texas legislators to further gerrymander congressional maps and preserve a GOP advantage in the U.S. House. Sinking to the challenge, Democratic states are threatening to cheat in their states, too. States rarely redistrict mid-decade. Trump's unfavorable ratings reached 56% in a July 28th Economist YouGov poll, and with only a 219-212 GOP advantage in the U.S. House, Trump asked the Texas legislature for help. The GOP already has 25 of the state's 38 U.S. House seats, but July 30th, the legislature unveiled a map targeting Democratic districts in Austin, Dallas, Houston, and South Texas to gain an extra 5 GOP seats, according to the Texas Tribune. Ohio, another GOP-dominated state, is also redistricting, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis suggested his state's congressional map may have, quote, defects that need to be remedied. Leaders in blue states, including California, Illinois, Maryland, and New York, have threatened to counteract gerrymandered GOP gains. While California Governor Gavin Newsom threatened, his state uses a constitutionally protected independent redistricting commission, as do six other blue states, making it harder to game the system. We have all our Redistricting Week reports at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. And or gave us a call. Yes, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Casey Hicks. He's the Federal Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. And we were talking right before we went to the break about changes to the EPA and the potential gutting, essentially, of the EPA.
But in our chat during the breaks, you said that Wisconsin actually just was the recipient of a major loan program for safe drinking water. Do you want to talk about that really quick, Casey?
Yeah, I can touch on that. And just a full disclosure, I don't work on the state policy side of things, so I'm not going to be able to probably give too much of like a wonky explanation of things. But So the state budget just recently passed. Governor Evers signed it back in early July. And in the state budget this year was $732 million for the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program here in Wisconsin, which, of course, is very important for protecting drinking water. Wisconsin has a host of different drinking water issues across the state, from lead lateral service lines that are still in existence and in various parts of the state, to nitrate contamination in rural parts of the state due to overspreading of fertilizer and manure, to PFAS, which are an emerging contaminant that have been popping up all throughout the state over the last several years and throughout the country. So that money is very important because it has been a long time coming to have some type of relief for people who can't safely drink tap water. So yeah, will be a huge impact on people in the state.
Well, we have some folks, I'm thinking of French Island, which is outside of La Crosse, mm-hmm. which is near La Crosse. They've been drinking bottled water for years.
Yeah.
They've been drinking bottled water for years.
Yeah.
Because of this problem.
It's very good to see this coming through, and I hope it be of great use, because we have talked about in the past on various shows on the network regarding the drinking water problems here in the state. And earlier you were talking about the if people want to get involved in the matter about the EPA, there are listening sessions. There are comment sessions coming up soon. Can you talk more about that again?
Yeah. So August 19th and 20th, there are going to be virtual hearings that EPA is hosting. They encourage people to sign up by August 12th. That is coming up next week, Tuesday, and people can navigate over to EPA's website to get the exact details on that. People can also go to our website, conservationvoters.org, and sign up for our emails, because we'll be sending out more info along with a toolkit on how to actually put together comments and submit them. So all those resources are available. Again, if people can't make an EPA hearing on a Tuesday afternoon because they've got important things like work to do, they can submit written comment as well. And we really encourage as many people as possible to do so, because it's part of our democratic process. EPA does look at all those comments. If they get 20,000, 30,000, 100,000 comments, their staff is looking at all of them. So it is really important that we get as many comments submitted as possible.
And we'll make sure that we have the website, the Wisconsin Conservation Voters website, on our show notes. So if you want to find out more about the group or about signing up for the event, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air. And then today's episode in the first hour will have all of that information as well, including anything else we talk about with regard to articles and groups we discuss. We have guests from. So, yeah, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows.
Another suggestion would be to contact your lawmaker. Mm-hmm. Just go to myvote.wi.gov. Go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is type in your address, and every person who represents you, their name will come up along with all their contact information. I don't know, say, for example, you could call Tom Tiffany, who just recently weighed in Wisconsin and said, that lousy Canada, they're not raking their forests enough. That's why we're having wildfire smoke. Maybe you could ask Tom Tiffany, what's changed in the last couple of years that we never had wildfire smoke until up 3 years ago? So they were doing a really good job raking up until 3 years ago when all their rakes burned.
And
I'm just asking. I'm just asking. It's a question.
Welcome to Matt and Aaron here, Casey. One of the things though Jane asked earlier and you spoke to is like, Casey, is how do you approach people who, or how do you discuss with people
there is no climate change,
or that it's not as bad as it seems. And I always, whenever someone says they don't, in your example, my friend said, so I heard in a podcast, I said, my first thought is always to say, cool, can you provide me information on either the podcast or their qualifications, the articles they're citing, or the information they're relaying to you? Because I always see it as, if climate change isn't real, okay, go with me here. If climate change isn't real, I want to know. So give me the information. Unfortunately, whenever I ask for that information, it always kind of goes into like, hey, Packers are looking really good this season. So I'm like, all right, cool. So you, great. I appreciate your thoughts. And fine, you don't want to believe in it, but it's still, you don't have to believe in climate change. It's not a law to do that, but it still affects you every single day. And caring about your water, caring about your air, caring about the world you leave behind for your children and your friends' children is important. So, Casey, thank you so much for being here and telling us about what's going on, but what we can do to make an impact in this process.
Casey Hicks is the Federal Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Thank you so much, Casey. Really appreciate your time. And as Greg said, we'll get all those links in our show notes as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We got news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, for Free Ticket Fridays. Don't go away.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. We've learned that President Trump is reportedly considering inviting Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to join the planned summit on peace in Ukraine and Alaska. It's to happen on Friday with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Zelensky today rejected the idea that his country would give up land to end the war. CBS's Willie James Inman says the meeting has been in the works for some time.
The Alaska summit comes after months of phone calls and meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in an effort to push for a peace deal. It also comes after weeks of President Trump expressing frustration with Putin and Russia's ongoing attacks on Ukraine.
Firefighters are making progress in the fight to control a wildfire in Los Angeles County. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is on the scene.
Weary fire crews put out hot spots.